Let's read together John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. In these verses, we have the last part of a discussion or debate that the Lord had with some of the Jewish religious leaders in Jerusalem. In this discussion, the Lord makes one of his clearest claims that he is fully God. John chapter 8, verse 48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me, and I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Once again, some background notes. Throughout the Gospel of John, the mention of the Jews indicates the opposition party. The Jews referred to in this section are the Jewish religious leaders of Jerusalem. They would not acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah. Instead, they attacked him personally, first in words and then physically. Here they picked up stones to throw at him. Finally, they crucified him. In verse 48, they accused the Lord of two things. First, of being a Samaritan, and then of having a demon. To be called a Samaritan by the Jews was the same as being called a heretic. The Jews looked on the Samaritans as being involved in false worship. To be accused of having a demon was to be called insane or crazy. This was the second time in the Gospel of John that the Lord was accused of being demon-possessed. First time is back in chapter 7 and verse 20. The people answered and said, "You have a demon." And then there will be a third time when they accuse the Lord of being demon-possessed. That's in chapter 10 and verse 20. "And many of them said, 'He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?'" Well, our Lord denied these slanderous charges. He did not spend a lot of time defending himself, but he did deny these false charges. And he stated in no uncertain terms that they were lying. There you see it in verse 55. You know, we should follow the same example. When people slander us, we should state the truth. Don't spend a lot of time defending ourselves. Just deny the false charges, state the facts, and move on. Follow the pattern of our Lord here. In verse 59, they picked up stones to throw at him. This was a clear indication that the Lord Jesus had claimed to be God. They did not stone people for minor theological differences. He's definitely claiming to be God. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move now to doctrinal points or teaching points from this section of John chapter 8. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord Jesus is incredibly gracious. The Lord Jesus is incredibly gracious. Look at verse 51. "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Notice how this verse, which is really an invitation to salvation, follows their terrible dishonor of Christ. They accuse the Lord of being a Samaritan and having a demon, and immediately after the Lord refutes these false charges, he says what we have here in verse 51, "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." He directs this invitation to them. Incredible grace. Not see death here, by the way, means not see spiritual death, but have eternal life. But think of the incredible grace of our Lord that's displayed here. Think of the dishonor that's been heaped upon him. You're a heretic. You're insane. The Lord Jesus is incredibly gracious here. Do you know the same is true today? The Lord Jesus is incredibly gracious. If you're here this morning and you think that you've gone too far or that you've sinned too much to be forgiven, remember this teaching. The Lord Jesus is incredibly gracious. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord Jesus claimed full deity. The Lord Jesus claimed full deity. In verse 56, the Lord said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." How did Abraham see Christ's day? Well, he certainly knew the messianic promise that was given to him in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 in the Abrahamic covenant. And God said to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In what way? Certainly that the Jewish race would be the means by which the Messiah would come, through whom all the earth would be blessed. So certainly Abraham knew of that messianic promise, and Abraham may have been given more insight than we realize. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 would indicate that the Old Testament saints understood a lot more than we may give them credit for. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth." So Abraham, along with others in the Old Testament, may have understood a lot more and seen a lot more than we give them credit for. In verse 57 here, the Jews said to Jesus, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" The 50 years here has nothing to do with the Lord's actual age, which was around 30. It is just a rounded off, relatively small number compared to the years back to Abraham. Actually, the Lord had not said that he had seen Abraham, but rather, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." In any case, in verse 58, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." This was not a grammatical mistake. The Lord purposely did not say, "Before Abraham was, I was," but rather, "Before Abraham was, I am," because this was the divine title used of God alone in the Old Testament. This was the way God revealed himself to Moses in that burning bush experience. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" This was the divine title, and Jesus is claiming it for himself. The Lord Jesus claimed full deity. That's why they picked up stones to stone him. Not because he had said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." No, because he claimed to be God. The Lord Jesus claimed full deity. What about practical application? Practical application number one. Getting glory for ourselves is not our responsibility. Getting glory for ourselves is not our responsibility. Verse 50, the Lord Jesus said, "And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." Also verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." Even our Lord Jesus did not seek his own glory. He left it in the hands of God the Father, who judges righteously, according to verse 50. Getting glory for ourselves is not our responsibility. Now, we would all say here this morning, I'm sure, that we're not seeking glory for ourselves, right? Well, then why, when a fellow believer begins to get more of the limelight than we have, does it bother us? Is it possible we're seeking glory for ourselves? Why are we jealous? It's kind of a telltale sign that we are seeking glory for ourselves. You know, I have some students that are fiercely competitive when it comes to grades. They are all wonderful Christian kids in just about every way, and to want to get good grades is good too, but some of them just can't bear to have another student get a slightly better grade. I had one student turn back a paper. I had given this student an A. It was a good paper. He turned it back because it was 2 points lower than another student who got an A plus. He wanted it regraded somehow so that he could get a slightly better grade. None of us is immune to this. Not too long ago, I was speaking at a summer conference with another speaker. Everything was going well until I realized that some people were enjoying the other brother's ministry more than mine. That bothered me. I had to get before the Lord about this thing. Is it possible I was seeking glory for myself? Remember the words of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let another mouth praise you, and not your own lips. Getting glory for ourselves is not our responsibility. Practical application number two. Getting to know him is our responsibility. Getting to know him is our responsibility. Look at verses 54 and 55. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. You know, there's two different words for know that are used in verse 55. When the Lord Jesus said to the Jews, you have not known him, he used the word gnosko, which means to come to know by experience or observation. But when the Lord said, but I know him, he used the word oida, meaning to know inherently or intuitively. To paraphrase, the Lord may have been saying something like this. You have not really attained an experience of God, but I have full consciousness of him. And at the end of verse 55, the Lord said, but I do know him and keep his word. The implication is that I know him because I keep his word. That's really the key to knowing God, keeping his word. And that's our responsibility. As a believer here this morning, how well do you know God? You know, it is possible to get to know God better. How? By keeping his word. Obedience to the word of God is the key to knowing God. It starts with becoming a Christian, obeying the word of God and receiving Christ as Savior. But it doesn't stop there. We continue to grow in our knowledge of the Lord and fellowship with him as we keep his word. Getting to know him is our responsibility.